It took 7 years, but we finally got to meet one of the most interesting off-screen characters in-game. Destiny's story has many corrupted ghosts in the lore, like Asher Mears, who was changed by the Vex, emanating a red light of death. Before Guardians had darkness, Drifter's ghost did. The pair have hated each other for years ever since he was revived. But this all seems to change in Renegades. Welcome, Guardians, let's take a look at these stories. So Destiny's stories amaze me sometimes. We have character arcs that exist for a long time. Sometimes they come full circle, and sometimes they even go beyond that. Drifter is one of those characters. In Renegades, we get to meet Drifter's ghost. Her name is Blue. We've never seen Blue before, and that's for a reason. First, likely development choices, but mainly the lore side of things. Drifter and his ghost never really got along. He used her as a tool, and Blue was changed forever. So today we're going to tell the stories of this duo and how things have changed with this latest release. From very early on, Drifter was never fond of the light. When he was revived by Blue, he ran the other direction and didn't trust anything. For the breadth of my formative years, I had one goal. Find my, well, we all have our own word for them, my chosen. And every moment thereafter was dedicated to keeping him alive, whether he liked it or not. They were turbulent times before the last city, before humanity found hope for the future. I was prepared to kill for it, die for it, a ghost of the Dark Age. He opened his eyes in the night air and took an even breath. He wasn't sure how long he'd been asleep, but his immediate instinct was to run. The man stood up in the evening light. He looked down at himself and saw that someone had dressed him for his own funeral. He didn't laugh, but he thought it was funny. The voice continued, "Can you hear me? Risen, fight for territory in these highlands. We have to move." For the first time, he noticed a small drone buzzing in the air around him, a blazing eye at its center, glowing like a blue sun. It jerked its frame to the left, indicating the light of a faraway settlement. "Head west. I have friends there. They'll help us." The man stared at the drone, frowned, and ran in the opposite direction. "What? Hey!" the voice cried out behind him. He fled into darkness, tall grass on either side of him flying past. The only thing he could hear was his own breathing and the loud crush of the vegetation he trampled. He was surprised at how fast he was moving. The voice called to him again, far behind him. He heard the roar of a machine before he saw it, and he didn't feel a thing as it exploded out of the tall grass to the right and landed on him, crushing him beneath its bulk. He opened his eyes in the night air and took an even breath. "You died," the drone explained, hovering over him. It was smeared with a dark, filmy paste. "I brought you back." He stood up and looked down at himself. Same clothes. Nothing hurt. The hulking wreck of the machine that had killed him sat in pieces a few meters away, inside a dark, sooty crater. The body of an armored man lay sprawled over the smoldering open-air cockpit, his helmet punctured by a small hole about the size of the drone. "Are you ready to listen? Let me take you to my friends," it said. "This region is full of raiders like this man, led by Risen like you. You've got a lot of catching up to do." "What the hell are you?" the man spoke for the first time. "I'm your ghost. My only purpose is to support you," the drone replied. "You work for me?" "In a manner of speaking, yes." "Is this the afterlife?" "In a manner of speaking," the drone said, nodding at the western lights once more. "Can we go?" Not that way, the man headed in the opposite direction. The drone watched him trample the high grass and disappear. It stared up at the massive, disfigured orb that dominated the sky, then made a small adjustment to the orbit pattern of its modular armor. It hurried after the man. So in those early days, Drifter saw his ghost as merely a tool. This was during the Dark Age. Not long after this, he had his own bar. He tried to keep his ghost concealed. He wasn't really close to her at all, kind of just used her to get revived and the perks of, you know, being a risen lightbearer. When he finally made it to some towns and outposts, he kept the ghost hidden and performed some small miracles from time to time for the people of those towns. But he was very weary about willingly giving up information that he had a ghost in the first place. The relationship was really just transactional. After the Dark Age times, Drifter built a crew and together they traveled off-world. They eventually came to an icy planet with darkness capabilities and creatures that repressed light. When everyone began to die, Drifter altered his ghost so she could reach spectrums beyond the light and get them the heck out of there. But this encounter changed his ghost forever. Now what I'm about to show you I've shown before in videos, but thought you'd rather see this scuffed animation I made years ago compared to reading 4 lore taps. So here's that story and then we'll continue. I had a crew once, my best friends, which isn't saying much, trust me. My crew, or a little subset of it, we leave the system together. Dawn of the City Age at the time. We were looking for something greater than light, as we had seen that light can be the cause of so much strife. We searched far and wide, must have been hundreds of years. We found a planet beyond the system bristling with an energy that repulsed light. Naturally, we were curious. We landed, intended to settle and conduct the research necessary to make this energy portable. A weapon out of legend called Thorn had similar light-repressing capabilities. It seemed promising, but hand in my heart it was cold. Humans were not meant for that place. So there we were, in that cold hunk of ice with no name, just me and my crew. We discovered some kind of alien monolith, a facility left by the inhabitants of that planet, long gone by then. But trapped inside was a creature, in a cage of some sort, frozen in ice. Was it some kind of zoo? Still not sure to this day. We should have brought a scientist. All we had were guys who thought we looked tough in dark colors. During our long stay on that planet, we found many of those monoliths, each with their own captured creature. The creature looked like it shared common bioenergetics with the hive. But there were no records then or since that I've ever seen of humanity's encounters with them. And the creature had a property the hive did not have. It produced a field that repressed light, like a darkness zone, but contained a gooey, vacuous form with no head. The anti-light fields we had detected from orbit that spread across the planet? It was these things. Our ship's scanners indicated thousands of them were on this planet with us. In hindsight, we all could have done with a few less of them. My crew and I quickly learned that the creatures in the monolith facilities were not the only ones on that damn rock. Plenty of them roaming out in the wild, where it was cold, but less cold than the frozen cages that contained the ones in the monoliths. How'd we find out? But one of us died in our sleep. Not that uncommon or tragic, actually. Happened a lot. Damn cold out there. Turns out one of those creatures just slithered by, and close proximity to it from inside our shelter just silenced the poor bastard's light. It was unfortunate, but it also lit a fire under us. The next morning, we realized we had a potential weapon on our hands that could change everything in battles of light versus light. We knew we had to find a way to get these creatures off their icy home, and we needed to find it fast. Despite our breakthrough, tensions were a little high. Some of us thought it was awfully convenient the creature wandered by and happened to take out only one of us, and so soon after we realized the value of them. We had been looking for a way to contain the creatures. The monolith seemed to have some kind of freeze tech, if you could call it technology, that we could use if we only could replicate it. I'm a pretty savvy mechanic, but we couldn't figure it out. We started to blame each other. Someone must have lured one of those things near crew quarters. To this day, I still don't know for sure. Why kill just one of us? It was more plausible that the creatures did it knowingly, a punishment for our intrusion, but there was no malice that we could detect, only biology. Eventually, one of them drew a gun. I knew it would happen, and I had prepared a soothing speech to smooth things over just in case. I told them to holster that smoke wagon, and the next time any of them tried it again, I'd kill them all without a second thought. I didn't speak plainly often, but when I did, even that crew listened. We were at our wits' end. A year on the planet, and we'd been completely unable to capture or tame the creatures that had become our sole objective. They were our bane. Our ship had been long rendered useless by the extreme cold. We had all died 100,000 times over to the cold. I know you've all been in the Crucible, played Gambit. This was worse, much worse. Four of us were left. We were raving psychos at this point. Only the four of us and the howling winds and icy slopes for company. The occasional scurrying, vacuous creature to argue about. One day, when we had settled in for the night in another monolith, something swept over the planet. I later learned that it swept across the system. All y'all hearing this felt it. You were there at its source. All four of us lost our light. We looked over at the monolith creature in its frozen cage. It seemed to stare right back. I think I mentioned we were all raving psychos at this point. Well, we did what all measured raving psychos would do. We thought we'd each have been betrayed by the others. We drew on each other. To this day, I'm still not sure how many of those guys drew intending to kill. But I'll tell you this, I was the only one who walked out. The creature in that monolith watched it all. When it was over, I stuck a finger straight up at it. How'd I get from there to here? Maybe I'll get to tell that story someday. We'll see if my gambit makes it that far. In the illicit Reaper Bond, Drifter explains how his ghost Blue was altered on that icy planet. And the craziest thing happened. My ghost snapped. What do I mean by that? Let me step back. I think all this time my ghost was hoping I would fall in line, that I just needed time to take up the mantle of the Traveler, my rebirth rite. But that had never happened. It took hundreds of years, but my ghost finally flipped. How? Well, our escape was all its idea. If we could modify its lights to replicate the energy effect of the monolith cages, it might be able to contain the creatures in the same way. But we would need parts, ghost parts, and we knew where we could get some. The ghosts of my former crew all fled as soon as their charges hit the dirt. So me and mine, we hunted them. And then it came time to perform the modifications. Are you sure about this? I asked. There were lasers all around us, scrounge from my crew's wrecked ship. Just make sure it works, it said. So I began, sparks flying around me as I cut into its armor. If I died to the cold before I finished, all would be lost. It spoke over the din of the work. Hey, there's always hope. For what it's worth, I'm proud of you. It was the last thing my ghost ever said, and the last lie it ever told. The next morning it was forever changed, but it had a brand new shell of armor, reinforced by the guts of five other ghosts. Its eye was bright red. It could no longer speak. The blue setting was still there, accessible whenever we needed it, but the red setting would save our lives. It was kitbashed and jury-rigged, but it could replicate the energy of the cages. We froze every creature we came across, brought all of them on board a new ship I cobbled together now that we were free to explore that ice trap of a planet. It was a trash fire of parts I lovingly dubbed the Derelict, a ship that I added to as I journeyed back towards home. Ghost could now tap into spectrums of light no one on Earth had yet seen, spectrums beyond the light. Don't get me wrong, I'm no herald of the dark. This was a kitbash job. But it was a renaissance for us. Gambit Banks, Motes of Dark, the Derelict. They were all innovated out of that red setting. And that's when I suppose y'all met me. I think it's time I got back to Gambit. You should too. So on that icy world, sometime just before we met the Drifter and played the games of Gambit back around Forsaken, is when his ghost was changed. As he says, that flip sort of switched, giving it powers of darkness, probably stasis, to freeze those creatures on that world. From that point onward, Drifter's ghost could never speak again. But Ash and Iron lore tabs give us further information about his ghost. Now it says the word blue in binary. So his ghost can't speak, you know, with a voice, but was able to get information across, and here's sort of what she said. Although they have many differences, Blue sees the Drifter as a broken man, but a man that still has tons of potential. She sees him as being a coward in his actions and sort of all the relationships he's had over the years. He's unable to accept certain feelings. Drifter is smart, he's got strength and survival instincts, but he's always on the run from like those trying to hunt him down, and also from his past and things he's done. Even running from the ways he's wronged Blue in the past. Blue sacrificed her own freedom and her voice to keep the Drifter alive. And how does he treat her? Selfishly, he doesn't care at all, and he kind of pushes her away even more. When it comes to Blue, though, as you might see in Renegades in these clips I'm about to show you, she mocks how reckless the Drifter is, but he is her guardian. She still worries for him, longs to him to achieve things and be acknowledged. So you have these two sort of things contrasting. In Destiny, you would think a ghost and the Guardian are the perfect pair. They need each other to stay alive. They need each other to keep fighting on. And for the most part, it seems to be the case. Ghosts and Guardians love each other and help each other out. But you do have cases where things go completely wrong, like Dredgen Yor completely ditched his ghost on Mars, I believe. And although it's not as major as that, you have relationship issues like Drifter and Blue here. In the Renegades campaign, we get to finally meet Blue for the first time. At the beginning of the campaign, she's the one holding this information about the encrypted disk, the information about the Cabal Imperium. We, of course, need to figure out what's on it, but we can't hear because Blue can't speak.
Oh, look. Thanks for nothing.
Hey, can you get my left leg? It's falling asleep in here. Okay, fine, fine. No, I'm not gonna ditch you for him. Can't you have a little faith? Knock that off.
So we go through various quests to get some ghost parts and fix her up a bit, and she finally has a voice. When she speaks for the first time, she unleashes all this anger on her Lightbearer.
Did it work?
You doorknob! You lousy, awful, stupid waste of light, bottom-feeding leech!
Hello to you too.
Are you disloyal, coin-flipping, ghost-ditching, scraggly beard two-timer? If you had a mom, she wouldn't call you! Oh, and the only time you're sincere is when you're asking for money! And your headband makes you look like a line cook!
Guardian, thank you for fixing my ghost. This is Blue. Named her because of that sunny personality.
Bite me! I need to talk to the Guardian. With my voice!
That was healing. Drifta and I have a complicated relationship.
Scratch that. It's not complicated. He's a flake. No, worse than a flake. He's a scoundrel. That data he stole wasn't any old data. It was plans for a super weapon.
For most of the campaign, the two are sort of how they've been since Drifter was revived. Pushing each other away, have these angry feelings, with the Boston accent makes it even better.
Drifter's running a bail. Thinks his vision is saying Eris will die if he doesn't. As if we can't change that. I'm through trying to stop his foolishness. He can chase the Nine without me.
But as we get towards the end, Drifter begins to change. Realizes that these two are a pair. They need each other to work things out. They need each other to survive. It happened back on that icy planet years ago. It happens now in the midst of Dredge and Bale.
He can't hear us.
Wait, what do you mean, Khan?
Cozying up to Bale so he won't notice the Guardian shutting off the shield generator.
That's his Khan. Oh, I'm so mad. I'm so proud. I want in.
Listen, I need your help. Come to the command center, put your guns down, and I'll let you in.
I spent so long not talking. I forgot. Better off when I'm talking to you. I want to help you close the deal.
I can't involve you, Blue. You need to be a million miles from here. The Vision wants you dead.
Playing possum buys you a clean distraction.
Bale and Six want to see you taken apart.
Then that's what we give them. Bale's still just a Guardian. That means he's a mark. You remember the first warlord we hunted in the Dark Age? The prick who irradiated Darrigan Valley.
Well, yeah. His ghost was hiding. We smoked the ghost out, and...
And we run the same plan on Bale. I'll be okay. I trust you.
Thanks, Blue. I need you, Blue.
You always do. You sold us out, you wretch. Why now?
Survival. Only one play left.
I've saved your sorry ass so many times. This is how it ends.
I got no choice.
Please don't do this. I can still help you.
You already have.
I chose you. And this is how you repay me?
Never trust a Trajan.
Get me out of here!
Where's your ghost, kid? Where's your ghost? Where's your ghost?
To let fate drag me along as well.
Getting a little shaggy dog, Drifter.
I hurt you, Blue.
Yeah, you did. I won't forget that. Let's clean this up first.
Take it away, Blue.
Eclipse energy is spiking. The weapon is preparing to fire. Blue, can you get through to the Drifter?
No. Nothing.
It's okay.
He'll be there. There's our exit, Ace.
Let's go!
Hope you're comfy in the trunk, Guardian. Only room for me and Blue up here. Couldn't let you hog all the glory.
But anyway, Guardians, that's all we got for today's video. A look back at Drifter and Blue's story and how it has evolved over the years. If you'd like to see some more Destiny news, lore, and mysteries just like this video, please be sure to subscribe to the channel. I thank you very much for watching, and I'll catch you all in the next video.